Well, as Mary said, you know, the Lord's Jesus Christ, our Lord, was born on September 11th, 3 BC, according to Scripture. And it was a great, great day. And it actually, I think they narrowed it down within the couple hours that it had probably happened. And it's something that I know the whole world looks at it December 25th, and that's, they picked a day, you know. Some guy decided to pick a day. But, and I know why they did it, but I don't want to get into all of that. But my point is how awesome it is to think about that that Savior had come. And, you know, he's coming back again. Our Savior, God's plan for the redemption of mankind, who paid the price for each and every one of us with his blood. He sacrificed himself because God asked him to. And he trusted God that God would raise him from the dead. He is the one that right now is our high priest. That's how he functions at the moment. He is our high priest. He's in the heavenly tabernacle at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is waiting until Almighty God makes his enemies his footstool. And that day is coming. That day is coming. I have no idea when, but it's coming. It's going to be a good day. And until that time, anyone who calls upon and turns to him can be saved. And when that day is over, when he returns, he's not going to be the high priest anymore making intercession. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I wanted you to go to the book of Revelation. I just wanted to read a couple of chapters here if we get a chance to finish it here today. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So these words, and by the way, all the other words in the church epistles and the gospels, and all throughout the Old Testament, are the words that they're God's words, all right? God gave it in this case to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel. The angel gave it to John. Who's the originator of it? God. You got lots of messengers, one originator, okay? There's one will that's going to be done in the universe. There's just one. And everybody else has got to get on board if you want to be on the right side. It's kind of just the way I think about it. In a world in which we live in, where everything seems to be all flying around and, you know, everything goes every which way, you know, and our personal lives, and the world that we live in, and chill. Just chill. Because God has given us his word. His word is his will. This thing is coming to pass. We have an anchor, a solid rock to stand upon. Just don't, like God said, in the manifestations, don't get distracted. Stick on it. You know, don't fall out of the lifeboat. Drowned. That's really what it's like. I mean, we have been saved. We've been given a lifeboat. We've been given one of those donuts. You know, hold on. Hold on. The Savior is coming. And in the meantime, Just chill and hold on. This was given to his servant John, verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and you that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written herein. For the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. These are literal churches, by the way. These are literal fellowships that were all throughout Asia. Remember, that's where Paul had ministered to. And this is towards the end. This is probably one of the last books written. It's towards the end of the first century. To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from God, from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. And it says, hath made us. Hath is past tense. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just one note. So many times the scripture speaks of things that have not yet come to pass, like being kings and priests. But as far as God is concerned, it's already done. It's already accomplished. It's already done. It's just a matter of when. Just like Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's already a done deal. It's just a matter of when it commences. You are kings and priests on the earth for those of us who believe. It's just a matter of when it commences. So you have already been given the honor. He has already washed you with his blood. Your sins are forgiven. I mean, all these things, you got to wrap your mind around them. You got to wrap your mind around everything the Word of God says. And this is what God says. This is the truth. And live like it. Instead of getting talked out of it. I got to worry about this. I got to worry about that. I got to do this. I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't feel like it. I mean, all the other jazz that comes our way. And there's, I don't know a better word than jazz at the moment. There's a lot of stuff that comes our way to distract us from the truth. Lock in, hold on to the life preserver, stay in the boat, because it's coming. Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Everyone who stood against him, the people who pierced him, all of them, they are going to be, this is going to be a bad day for these folks. This is going to be a bad, it'll be a really good day for us, but it's going to be a bad day for him, for them. It says here, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, And in the kingdom and patience and of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos. For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I saw in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now this is a vision, right? John's in Crete. He's moving the word there. He's doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. And he gets a vision. You know what a vision is? A vision is like a living reality that you can feel and taste and touch. But it's in your head. It's in your mind. It's like it's really happening. It's not like a TV show where you're watching something. A real vision is you can, to a certain degree, taste and touch and feel. You're there. But it's just in your mind. Okay? It's not your outside looking in. It's your there. You know, in the thing. Like we are here looking at the scriptures. It's a different perspective. We're reading this vision, but we're looking from outside, looking at what he saw. He was living it in his mind, in his mind's eye. And I turned to see the verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me being turned, and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with the golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as wool. This is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his description. Now, it's a vision. All right. His head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he hath on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, or the word messengers, of the seven churches. So there's no guessing. You don't have to guess what they are. It is this what you saw in the vision? The interpretation is these are the angels, or better yet, the word messenger in the Greek, of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches. Which seven churches are you talking about? The ones in Asia. It's the ones we're talking about. This is the revelation to them. Just like the book of Ephesians was written to them and Philippians, and they were to share these things around. This is the message. Now, before we go on with that, is Jesus like a little meek and mild and... I mean, is that the picture? So this is what I want you to see. The Lord is not anymore the one who is going to be spit upon and treated like he was when he was on earth. He's no longer going to be treated like the bastard child when he was growing up. He's no longer going to be saying, people are no longer, oh, let's kill him. Let's get rid of this guy. Mom's not going to say to him, you're out of your mind. And his brothers and sisters think he's crazy. He's the Lord. I mean, when he's standing there and John drops like he's a dead man when he sees him. Two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. His voice is like many. You ever been to Niagara Falls and stand next to it? It's a good picture. Or the ocean on a bad day, breaking up. The sound of many waters. You know, it's a roar. This is our Lord. This is who he is in his glorified state. This is the picture. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His feet like brass. Brass is judgment in the scriptures. And it's like molten brass. This is the picture of him at the right hand of the throne of God. Resurrected. The one who's coming back who will die no more. A little bit different picture than the one you get in the gospel, isn't it? Just a touch. See, things change. His mission the first time was to come, the seed. He came meek and mild. The prophecies were that he would be as a bruised reed. He would go with the wind. He was meek. My servant will be, he'll not raise his voice. He's not going to, you know, project himself in any way. But he's coming to do thy will and to be the sacrificial lamb. He's not coming back as the lamb anymore. It's the Lion of Judah. That's the second half of the prophecy. When you look in a lion, you ever go to the zoo and look in a lion's eyes? It's a little intimidating. I mean, you look in that cat's eyes, and I'll tell you what, you just look in his eyes, and you know you're in trouble. John looked in the Lord's eyes, and they were like fire. And he just dropped like one dead. The Lord reached out and touched him in his vision. Yep. He says, write these things down. And then he gives the message here in chapter 2. We're going to go to chapter 4. Chapter 2 and 3 basically are the messages which you ought to read to those churches. But I wanted to go and I wanted to see another part of his vision. in the throne room of, we just saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the vision of him, but I want to go to the throne room of God, his Father. Because if you think the Lord is drop down and fall down as dead in front of him, throne room of God is just an incredible vision. You know, there's not too many times in the Bible God gives you, you know, like in the book of Job, he shows you that there's a meeting up in heaven and you got the heavenly host around him. And there's another time with the prophet Micah, and you know, God shows you a little peek into what's going on up in heaven. We only get little glimpses, and this is one of the great ones. Ezekiel gives you others. I mean, there's other places, but there's few and far between. But I want to tell you something. The spiritual realm is dominating and is supreme over the natural realm. Verse chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. You know, just think, you know, somebody with a trumpet. You know, I think of Louis Armstrong all the time with the trumpet, but I mean a bugle or whatever. I mean, these things, this is not, you don't want to be talking to a trumpet. I mean, this thing is announcing to you. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne room in sight like unto an emerald. Now again, how do you describe, this is the best, I mean, when you get a vision, when you get a revelation, it is, you still have to translate it. You know, you ever see something that was just so indescribable? Beauty that was so you still have to describe it if you're going to write it down. So this is the best, and I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying this is the best that's possible of his description of what he saw. And round about the throne were 24 seats, 24 seats, and upon the seat I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the thrones proceeded lightning and thunder and voices. And there were 7 lamps and 7 burning lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the spirits, the 7 spirits of God. Don't ask me what all these things are. I ain't got a clue. This is lightning, thunder, beauty. It's amazing how the, you know, the portrayal of the throne room of God. He's not an old grandpa with a white beard like Santa Claus sitting around doing nothing. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts giving glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw that, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw the strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. God's got the book sealed. No one is able to open this thing. Verse 4, And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I love that word, prevailed. Jesus Christ prevailed. He did it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it hath been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, the Almighty God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vestures full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, this is the prayers of God's people since the beginning. That's what comes up before the throne of God is your prayers. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. and every creature which is in heaven and which is on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard. I sang, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts sang, Amen. And the four and the 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. They worship God. This is your Father. This is his throne room. This is your Savior, who is the only one who has ever lived, who is worthy to open the book. When you continue to read Revelation, you see the seals and are opened. You see what happens when the seals are opened. We're talking about the day of the Lord. We're talking about judgment day that's coming. We're talking about fulfilling the mystery of God, God's plan. We're talking about the king, not only the 1,000-year millennial reign of the kingdom that's coming, but then paradise. No death, no sorrow. Death itself will be destroyed. The devil, all his folks, they're all going to be barbecued. I mean, whoa. See, keep it in perspective. Who is your Father? Who is your Lord? It's already done as far as God is concerned. We're just waiting for the scriptures to be fulfilled. It talks about in one place that I know of, don't understand it completely, but it talks about in Romans that this is going to come to pass when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That he doesn't want one person to be lost. So if he would have came 1,000 years ago, you and I wouldn't be in the equation, would we? And he wants all that will believe on him. When is that? I don't know. But just hold on. Just hold on. You know? You see the stuff that goes on the earth today? You know? You got a whole bunch of guys running they think they're running the show. They think they are. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was running the show. I was going to read that, but it's too much to read all in one day. You know, Saul, he was made a king over Israel, right? You read about him. He thought he was running the show after a while. You know, he got too smart for his own britches. Nebuchadnezzar, God says in the scripture, the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, was the greatest empire that ever existed. Gives you the vision, lays the whole thing out, tells you about the kingdom to come. I mean, it gives you mankind's history, Gentile history, from Babylon, names Greece, names the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, by name. Thousands of years before any of these things ever popped up. And tells you what's coming, which is the kingdom to come. And all these things, all these other things will be broken in pieces when it comes. I mean, how do you do that in scripture? I mean, nobody even thinks about it. And yes, some of it is in a vision. Some of it, you know, the most people's wild interpretations are not necessary. Just read what's written. Just like this. I don't know what do the six wings mean. I mean, there's people that get into all the bizarro stuff. I mean, it really is. That's not the point. The point is to impress you and I of being in the throne room. I can't even understand why I do some of the things. I'm going to understand everything that's going on there. Did you ever surprise you? Why was I thinking that? Do you ever do that sometimes? You wake up in the morning and say, why did this come up? Good or bad? You surprise yourself. You don't even know why you're thinking what you think. You're going to figure out what's going on in the throne room. Who are the 24 elders? I don't know, but all I know is they're wearing crowns. All I know is that everything will bow before the Almighty who liveth forever and ever, the Ancient of Days. And his son is the one who has redeemed us. That I can tell you. So when we think about the Lord's birth, just don't think about this little baby. You know, this is the plan. He's the one that did the job. He was the one who made it. The only one. There is none other who's ever lived or who will ever live that could have done the job. He did it. We have redemption. We are going to be kings and priests on this earth. You want to talk about an inheritance? So, you know, there's a lot of hot shots out there in the world, and, you know, they all think they're running the show. Nebuchadnezzar, I've mentioned him before. He thought he was running the show. He writes a letter in chapter, you ought to read it sometime. I think it's in chapter 4. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was going to read that. Yeah, Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar writes a letter of what God did to him. You know? God gives him a vision. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened since sliced bread. And, you know, I was facetious with that. You read the chapter 4, it's very plain. But his ego, he has forgotten who is the boss. You know, he had in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he fell down. Hey, your God is God. But, you know, he is so big. His head is so big. His pride, his arrogance is so big. That God's going to knock him down a notch or two. Actually, he's going to send him into the wilderness for 7 years. And he's going to eat grass. He's going to lose his mind. He's going to eat grass. He's going to have his hair. It says, grows together like eagle's feathers and his nails like claws. You know. And then the kingdom is going to be restored back to him. And he realizes, hey, God in heaven is the one who rules. There's a whole lot of people out there that think they rule. Nothing goes on in this life. Nothing goes on in heaven and earth without Almighty God. His judgment, you can read about it all over the Bible, and his blessings. But there's nothing going on in life without Almighty God. And I'm not smart enough to tell you who's doing what any particular time of day. All I know is what I've seen in my life and what I've seen in God's people's lives. You and I, when we have turned to him, we have seen Almighty God do great and awesome and wonderful things for us individually. As you know, I've seen it in the course of my family, my kids. I've seen it in nations that have turned to him. And I've also seen his judgment on individuals, families, and nations. It's not hard. How it happens, what happens, when it happens, I don't know. But anytime you think that you can get away with something, or anytime the world thinks it can get away with something, it really ought to read Revelation chapter 4. And remember who they're dealing with. And then the rest of the book is pretty good too, because, like I said, the picture that people have, you know, of Jesus, and because they're reading the Gospels, he was very loving. He was meek. He was tender. You know, he was also a man's man, by the way. I mean, better than anybody ever. But his qualities of love and meekness and, you know, his authority, and it's a very different picture than the one that you get in the resurrected Christ. So he ain't taking nothing from nobody. And when he returns, it says the God in heaven is going to laugh at all the kings of the earth who stand up against him. It says that the Almighty laughs at them. And says, you better kiss the Son. You better kiss the Son, lest when he comes, grind you to powder. You're going to have a choice. We have a choice individually. The people we love have a choice. Countries have choices. But that baby that was in that manger that day, who would have thought it? The devil couldn't figure it out. If the devil had figured it out, he would not have killed him. That's what it says. God had to keep it under the radar. It had to be stealthy. It had to be something that the devil himself couldn't figure out. You know, people complain, well, why did God make it so tough to see? Because if he didn't, guess what? It wouldn't happen. So, anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you.